Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Hey Ben, Adam Hogue, CHGO.
Adam Hogue.
Who wants to step into Hub's big shoes?
Hey George.
Hi Adam.
Obviously can't step into Hub's shoes, but...
Covering the Bears for CHGO.
Hey Ben, Adam Hogue again. It was a little surprising that you took this job so fast without coming here first.
Walking in this building yesterday gave me goosebumps.
What's up? Welcome in, Hogue and Johns.
Ryan Pulse, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Two questions about Ozzie Chipillo. Number one, does he look like me?
No.
See?
I'm not the one bringing this up. It's our listeners.
They bring it up all the time. That's good. Number two, what
your face or your the like face. The whole
oh,
thing?
Oh, no way.
They've been calling him Giant Johns.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
Adam Hogue.
I'm Adam Hogue, or I'm not Adam Hogue. He's Adam Hogue.
We just need to kick Adam Hodge off the show. Let him come back on Tuesday.
Adam Hoagie or Hogue? Excuse me. I don't know how to pronounce the last name.
And there's so many others on here. Our own Adam Hogue says, just found out.
With Spiegel and Holmes.
Coach, other than the kick being short, were you pleased with the execution on that Mayday situation right before halftime?
Yeah, I was, Coach. I really was.
On 670 The Score.
Great to have Adam Hogue on the show. He joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Hoger, thanks for joining us. Let's start with the thing that everyone was wondering about after the game was immediately over. What did you think of the last play?
Yeah, I like the play call. I think from everything we've learned in the aftermath, it was a good play call, even, you know, especially from what we've heard from the Packers. Matt LaFleur just in the last hour saying that they were playing the run. We heard from Keyshawn Nixon that he was on DJ Moore and only came off DJ Moore because Evan Williams, the safety, was supposed to be on Cole Kmet, and he bailed on Cole to go cover the flat where DeAndre Swift was. And really, it was just Caleb had to get off the flat earlier and find Cole, and it just didn't happen fast enough. Today on CHGO, I was able to do like a side-by-side breakdown of this play versus the one in Philly last week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super interesting because it's from the exact same – so it's right hash. You know, they're closer to the – goal line, obviously, but where they're at, you know, from sideline to sideline, they're in the same exact spot. So you can literally go side by side from where Caleb gets to the other hash, how the play is developing. And the biggest thing you'll notice is when he goes to throw, he's way closer to the numbers than he was when he went to go throw last week against the Eagles. And that's an indication of this whole thing took longer. You can also see Cole Kmet. At the point where he goes to throw it to him yesterday, Cole is back looking for the ball. Last week against Philly, when Caleb went to throw it, Cole hadn't even turned around yet. He's throwing that ball with anticipation. This time, he's delayed. He's getting to it late. Now, I still think he could have completed it, with a better ball, if he leads him probably a little bit more towards the sideline, more towards the corner in the same angle that Cole's running the route compared to what he was doing last week. And instead, it's just a little bit more upfield and short. And so it turns into the interception. At the end of the day, I think it was a good play call. I think better execution from the quarterback. They probably get a touchdown. And sometimes the other play, I mean, guys make plays. Keyshawn Nixon made a great football play on that one. And unfortunately, Caleb didn't get to it fast enough.
It's great stuff. And you're right that he caught them by surprise. I still disagree with it because it felt like creating a win or go home moment before you had to. Like if you run and give yourself the first down, you got four shots at it with two timeouts in your pocket. And you know, you've got opportunities. But either way, Caleb admitted that he thought too much.
Matt, can we talk about that for a second?
Sure.
Real quick?
Yeah,
sorry,
please.
To interrupt you.
Absolutely.
So, because I hear you, and I hear the people that are just like, look, you're running the ball, you got the offensive line, run the ball. But we literally hear the other coach say they're playing the run.
Yep.
So you'd rather run the ball against run defense and just say, hey, you know, gut it out, pile the dust, move the change, versus what this play actually does. It gives you multiple options. So it gives you ideally an easy completion to DeAndre Swift in the flat. Okay, they covered that. There's also a run element to this. This is the exact same play they ran in the second quarter when Caleb Williams ran for it himself. Go back and watch it. They're on the other hash and they boot the other direction, but otherwise it's the same exact play flipped and Caleb's able to run for the first down. So you still have a run element on this play. You have an easy completion to Swift. And if both of those are taken, which they were, you theoretically should have a possible touchdown, which is the best outcome you have to get eventually on this drive anyway, mm-hmm. to Cole Kmet. So I can't fault the coaching or the play design on that when the other option is just run it and hope you get it.
I hear you. But the way it ends up being is that he needed to make that touchdown decision immediately. Like right away. And instead, look, I get what you're saying. And so maybe it's more on the quarterback. I didn't like the way the quarterback executed, and I wasn't crazy about the call either way. But I hear what you're saying. And the standard is, in this league, when the quarterback is a weapon like that in the red zone, you give him the opportunity. You give Josh Allen the chance. You give Mahomes the chance, right? And so Caleb not quite ready to do that is maybe the bigger takeaway from the situation.
Yeah, potentially. Because, look, there's even a world where you – and I don't think this is – and I think Ben Johnson today kind of poo-pooed this too. Like there's a world where an extremely advanced, experienced quarterback – understands, oh wait, I'm too late on Cole. Mm-hmm. Maybe DJ Moore's coming open too. That's asking a lot to get to like your fourth option on that play.
Right, but we saw that a lot yesterday. I watched a lot of Josh Allen several times.
Right.
He stopped when the first or second option wasn't there and he waited for guys to move and become open. So that's what Caleb needed to do once he was too late. And he didn't do that. So that's part of I just don't think he's ready to be the difference. And hopefully he will be. But I thought yesterday I ended up leaving saying, man, their guy is much more ready than our guy is, in terms of the biggest moments.
No, I mean, look, no question. I mean, Jordan Love was a better quarterback yesterday, as he should be. Isn't he like in year six now and he's in his third full year starting? So yep. It should be that way. And don't get me wrong. By the way, I am not dismissing the argument that running the way you're running the ball, the way your offensive line is working, but you did just get stuffed on third down too. And you got to think about it through the coach's eyes because Ben's thinking, I'm trying to outsmart the defense here. I'm trying to come up with the best. And so I don't think that was wrong either. And I think it's just sometimes you need the execution. And this is the exact same play that worked a week ago against the Philadelphia Eagles. So honestly, like we can talk about this to death as we probably will, as we have today and will all week probably. But at the end of sometimes it just comes down to execution, players making plays. Keyshawn Nixon made a better play than Caleb Williams. And it sucks because you just lost to the Packers one more time and it hurts. And that's okay. It hurts.
How worried are the Bears about Kyler Gordon again?
Well, I mean, you have to be worried. Look, we don't know the severity of it. We haven't got a lot of information. It could have been anything from a, it's really cold, he felt some tightness, let's not push this, to a complete re-aggravation. But at this point, it is December 8th. And even if it's on that, you know, less severe scale that I just gave you, this is a loss. It's starting to become a lost season for Kyler Gordon. And so I think you got to be worried about what you can realistically get from him the rest of the season. And I think a bigger discussion needs to be had for the player in the offseason from a strength and conditioning standpoint. What do you need to do with your body, with your training, with your nutrition, with your hydration, whatever it is, to make sure that this is not something that continues? Because it has been an issue throughout his career. It's been the worst it's been this year with the soft tissue injuries, and they're paying him too much money. Guys, he went at the time of the contract, the highest paid slot corner in the league. So you need that player available, and it's hurting them right now that he's not. And I think it hurt you yesterday specifically. Look, CJ Gardner-Johnson's doing a great job, but there's a reason why he's been moved around and was moved back to safety. He is not ideally suited to be your slot corner against quick wide receivers playing press at the line of scrimmage. And you saw a couple times in that game, he was unable to create an actual physical jam at the line and got beat because of it with clean releases off the line of scrimmage. And I think that it's not a leap to say Kyler Gordon, when healthy, would have been a better option in coverage in those. Really, I'm thinking of two specific instances, but the one being when Christian Watson caught it and ran away from the defense.
Yeah, and I'm kind of worried about Jalen Johnson too, where I know that he's on a pitch count, and that makes sense, right? You're bringing a guy back. Maybe he's not playing 99% of the snaps. But he also didn't quite look like himself athletically yesterday, and I think that was the thing that was surprising.
Yeah, I'm with you, Lawrence. I feel the same way. He doesn't look like he's playing with the same speed and twitchiness right now. I think some of that is understandable, considering the severity of the surgery that he had. And I think it's fair to say it's going to take him a little bit here to get his feet completely under him. Remember, like, he didn't have a training camp. This thing happened right before camp. And I think that matters for a few different reasons. One, so the severity of the surgery – you're basically trying to do everything you do during camp in terms of getting, you know, back into football shape. And you're trying to do it now in season, late in the season, in really cold weather, which doesn't help either. And I think this last part matters too. As good of a player as he is, his only reps in this defense, in this new scheme, were back in OTAs. And so I think there's probably some hesitancy at times in what he's being asked to do schematically, because this is a new defense. And I wonder that one rep, the Bo Melton touchdown yesterday, when he's technically dropping back to be that deep half cover two safety, which is not his primary position. Obviously he's a corner. If asking him to do that in that moment was maybe asking him to do a little bit too much. And that's why he was a little bit slow to get back there. And when Bo Melton crossed into his half of the field, he wasn't really there. So I think that those types of decisions from a coordinator standpoint, you got to take everything I just said into consideration. And at the same time, he's a really good player who's supposed to be your one blue chip player on the defense. And you do have high expectations for him to execute at a high level. But I thought he was hesitant. I thought he was hesitant too, getting his nose in that backbreak. I thought the play of the game, as much as we've talked about the interception, was the missed tackle on Josh Jacobs in the backfield. And Jalen was there and had a chance to help. And he kind of just, I think he just assumed the play was being made in front of him. And Josh Jacobs got through there for an explosive run.
That's great stuff from Adam Hogue of CHGO. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank. And great clips. All right, well, we disagree about Ben at the end of the game. Let's talk about Ben at the beginning of the game. They went 1 for 7 on third downs in the first half. They had 6 first downs. They had 3 points on five possessions. Caleb starts 0-for-5. They had one run play in the first six plays. Did Ben outsmart himself a little at the beginning of the game by not trying to run the ball right away?
Maybe. You know, I found that discussion, I don't know how much of you guys have been able to hear, because I know it was during your show. His media session a little over an hour ago, he talked about, you know, putting Caleb Williams in a better position to start faster. And he specifically was asked about the third down overthrow. I think it was the first third down of the game to DJ Moore on a dagger. Now I wondered, I think it was maybe OZ on the other side of the field, if I'm remembering right on that play. I thought he was maybe open too, but Ben said he liked the decision and Caleb just missed high. And, you know, maybe asking him as the play caller to hit a dagger down, you know, a deeper dagger downfield as his first completion, maybe there's better ways, you know, to get him going in a rhythm with shorter, easier throws. I think that's fair self-criticism from Ben Johnson. On the other hand, I look at the first throw of the game and it was a speed out to Luther Burden and it was there and he just overthrew that one too. So, I mean, how much can we realistically start pulling these passes in closer to the line of scrimmage to get Caleb going? You know, that dagger concept, we've seen it all season and we've seen Caleb hit it. The numbers yesterday, middle of the field, Bears have been really good in the middle of the field all year. Caleb's been good in the middle of the field. And yesterday those numbers were atrocious. So, you know, I think you give the Packers credit defensively for some of that. And I appreciate Ben taking that into consideration, some of these things that he can do better to get Caleb in a rhythm early. But, you know, you can't just run the ball all the time. We can keep making excuse after excuse, but I think Caleb's got to own the fact that this accuracy, these are throws he's got to hit, whether it's the first quarter, fourth quarter, whatever it is, you got to come out stronger. And to his credit, he did say that after the game, and I think he's very conscious of it.
What do you think is going on with DJ Moore's role in this offense? Are we seeing him being devalued? Is he not getting open? When you break down the tape, what do you see?
Well, another super interesting thing Ben said today, he said that going into this game, he thought DJ was going to have more opportunities than any other weapon in their offense. And he was pretty surprised to look at the stat sheet when it was all said and done, one catch minus 4 yards. So, you know, I think, again, you give credit to the Packers for taking DJ Moore away, which makes sense. Roma Dunze's out. Who's the next guy you want to concentrate on? So I think there was some of that. I think there was a couple misses to DJ. That one play, they tried to flip it to him, which was the minus 4 on his one catch. I mean, that wasn't even a pass play.
It was a murder ball.
His one catch wasn't even really a drop back. It was a flip forward. So, look, I think that this is a big talk. It has to be a big talking point. You're paying DJ Moore too much money to not have him be a significant factor. If you told me that, and I think he's on pace for like 600 something receiving yards right now, Mark Harmer brought that up to me earlier today. Well, if Roma Dunze was having a Pro Bowl like season and taking off as a realistic number one, and that's just how it was falling for DJ Moore, I think you could accept that. And for a while early on in the season, back in September and early October, that's what we thought we were watching. But then Rome wasn't quite himself. We find out later he's been playing with an injury. Now he's not playing. He didn't play at all this week. The fact that DJ's still lagging behind and not getting the targets, not getting the production, it is concerning. I don't know what the answers are, Lawrence. I think it's been sort of all of the above. I think there, if you put Truth Serum through all the, you know, everybody involved here, whatever reason, the chemistry with Caleb and DJ has not been what it was when DJ was playing with Justin Fields. I also think, I don't know this, I think that Ben might be struggling a little bit to figure out exactly what DJ is in his offense, because he's a pretty unique wide receiver. You know, whether it's, we're talking about his height, his speed, the way he runs route. And I also think, when you asked me about the film, there are times where I don't love the routes that DJ's running. Some of these clear outs, he's not selling enough. Sometimes he's not breaking hard enough. And then there's other times where it looks fantastic. So I just think it's a boring all of the above answer, but I think in this case, it's actually accurate.
It was beautiful to see this game be that good in December for these two teams and these two organizations. And I have faith in Ben to react and adjust. LaFleur will as well. But if I had to pick today, I'm saying the Bears win on Saturday the 20th. What do you think about this one yet?
Well, Speaks, I love that that's where your head's at, because I feel the same way. I get it. They lost to the Packers again, and Packer fans are going to rub all the records, and Matt LaFleur is now 12-1 against the Bears and all that. Fine. Let's look at yesterday, though. If yesterday's game is an example of what this rivalry is going to become here for, I don't know, let's say the next few years, maybe 5 years, let's go. I'm fired up about that, because that was a hell of a football game. That was a playoff game. And the Bears are going to win some of those, and they're going to lose some of those. And it's going to be a lot of fun. There's the America's Game of the Week. The ratings will be outstanding whenever they announce those. And, you know, in 12 days, they get right back out there on Soldier Field in a primetime game, and it's going to be part two. And it wouldn't shock me if there's a part three in the playoffs. So let's hope that's what this is. And maybe they'll have this thing split by next week on Saturday, and then the rubber match comes in the playoffs, and that would be fantastic for football. And hopefully a thing, you know, the way this thing goes, because we got the coaches here to make it a rivalry. I think the players, the more they get more and more reps, we saw some chippiness yesterday, a little bit at times. It was a fun game. It was a really good game, and it sucks the Bears were on the wrong end of it, but sign me up for next week. And sign me up for a playoff game if that's the way it all falls.
Hoger, we appreciate it, man. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, always good talking football with you guys. Have a great day.
That is Adam Hoge of CHGO's football coverage, which is outstanding. Shout out to those guys.
How about it? Yeah, he's right about it. You get the number one team out there. Get Tom Brady and his $10,000 coat.
Damn right, yeah, on a $10,000 coat.
For those who didn't know, we were admiring the coat, and Lawrence guessed in the group thread that Tom Brady's leather coat, the one he was wearing underneath, was $10,000. I found it today. I looked it up. It's from designer Tom Ford at Neiman Marcus. It goes for $9,990. My man's was $10 off, which means, of course, you lose.
Ooh, sorry, Lawrence.
He would have won the coat.
What a bad guess.
Oh, man.
He went over. You got to go under. I guessed $1.
I need that coat.
I win the coat. It doesn't.
Tom, yeah, you got to toughen up, my man. You got four layers of coats on. You're wearing gloves now. You know how many cold games you played in? I'm a little disappointed in you right now.
Oh, that's tremendous.
Gronk was giving him the business.
Good. Somebody's got to.
Hey, that coat was...
It's really nice.
It's really nice.
Very
coat.
Nice. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. It doesn't fit. But I did win it for $1.
For $1.
So I'm very excited about that.
Drew Carey always messing it up for people. Have your pet spayed and neutered. When we come back, why don't we talk a little bit about what Ben had to say?
This is today. This is the update.
Yeah, fresh stuff. So some of the stuff that Hoge was talking about, we can hear from Ben's lips next on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nixon makes the game-saving play in their own end zone. What a game. Halfway fired up. Great defense. And it's not a sixth game-winning fourth-quarter comeback for this Bears team. They showed a lot of fight today, KB. That was a valiant effort. Hell of a football game. A lot of times it comes down, like I said, one guy's going to make it, one guy's not going to make it. Today was a Packers day.
There's the handshake, and Matt LaFleur's Packers take over first place in the NFC North.
DeMarco, is there such thing as a moral victory in the NFL? You guys come back down from 14-3, or how do you kind of view that?
No, it ain't no moral victories in my. We didn't get the job done, and, like, you know, I'm waking up still frustrated with that game, looking at it. I don't think anybody needs to take this as a moral victory. Like, we look at the scoreboard, we lost, and we ain't where we want to be, so it ain't no moral victory for that.
That's Bears linebacker DeMarco Jackson talking about no moral victories.
Whoa, Nelly, let me tell you about DeMarco Jackson. Folks, if you get the Keith Jackson reference, get your affairs in order. He's a player. No moral victories for him. I get it. No moral victories for them, but for us, I felt one myself yesterday. But we have talked, we have discussed, we have dealt with it, and onward we go.
Let's hear from the Bears head coach. Let's hear, this is fresh. This is just hot off the presses. This is Ben Johnson talking with the Assemble Media. Why don't we start first with him discussing the offense and walking us through the final play?
Yeah, just like I said yesterday, really feel like offensively, we need to start faster than what we did. Obviously, 71 yards in the first half wasn't good enough. Only 3 points on five possessions. Defensively, gave up too many explosives. And then special teams-wise, didn't feel like our kickoff or kickoff return units played like they're capable of doing. So we dug ourselves into a hole. Credit to the guys. They came through and made it a game there in the second half. But just wasn't enough when you're facing a good team on the road like that.
We talked to Caleb after we talked to you about that final throw to Cole, and he said that the difficulty of it wasn't a problem, but he was thinking too much. When you watch that back, like, what execution-wise should have gone differently for him with that?
Yeah, I haven't talked to him yet. We're going to watch the tape together after this, and I'll get a better feel for when he says he was thinking too much, what that means. But yeah, from my perspective, it was a play that had a lot of options, just like I alluded to last night. And Cole happened to be the one that popped the most. And, you know, it's a good play by Nixon for them. He came off of his guy and made a play on the ball. But had we seen it a little bit sooner and given Cole a better chance, I think we would have been pretty happy with that result. So I still feel the same way I did last night on that play.
Another game with Caleb where we see a lot of the really high potential, but we also see him struggle for a stretch. Do you identify any reasons for the inconsistency? And when do you think it's reasonable to expect him to level out?
Yeah, you know, there's certainly some that, you talk about each week where feel like guys are open and we can certainly give them the ball on time and give them a chance to run after catch and all that. And then there's that mix of, oh my gosh, that's one of the most incredible plays I've ever seen in my life type deal with him. So I do acknowledge your point there. And that's something we're striving to do is combine both of those worlds to where we think we're going to have a really good quarterback in this league, really dangerous quarterback in this league, really dangerous offense, really good team for a long time when we're really able to combine both of those thought processes. So wow. We're not quite there yet. We're working diligently every day. I've said it every week that you see growth in so many other areas that you know, I think when that last little bit comes along, I think we're going to be really pleased with where we are.
That is really great, honest stuff from Ben Johnson about the quarterback progression. Let's do some more on that tomorrow, because I have a feeling we might have to wait until the off season and a full few months of being able to focus on things for some of that next level to get there.
Well, that we are seeing the tough love be out there too. Him being like, yeah, I kind of want to talk to him about thinking too much.
Sure. Not tough at all. Just got to give him a better ball. Thinking too much.
I mean, it's great that he's saying it and they're talking about that stuff. It's like he's got to
walk me through it, right? Like, why are you thinking about it? Because this is if A, then B. If B, then C. And if C, then D. Like, why are you thinking? Just do it.
Yeah, well, it's a tough job.
It's the toughest.
It's the toughest job in sports.
It is. It's pretty. Hockey goalie. But yes, quarterback.
I think it's tougher.
Because it's more reaction than thinking.
It's everything. Yeah. There's sometimes you really got to think it all through and be patient. Sometimes you got to have those quick reflex. It's everything.
The reflex
is an only child.
And if you get that reference, you're at the top of the demo.
Sure are.
We're not going to tell you to get your affairs in order.
No,
but you're
no.
At the top of the demo.
You're doing okay. You're on Lipitor. You're all right.
You are. You're doing the best that you can.
Hey, get your affairs in order.
Not yet.
So we've been talking, and you've probably been wondering about DJ Moore. And like, well, why don't they use that guy? That's a guy they gave a lot of money to. You heard Adam Hoge talking about it. Here's what Ben Johnson had to say about Caleb and DJ not being in the same place at the same time.
The passing game in the first half, like I think to that 3rd and 15 that he and DJ couldn't sync up. And I think he only had like one completion over 10 yards early on. Like, but specific to that play, what did you notice about the overthrow there and why those two didn't seem to be on the same page yesterday?
Well, I don't know if there was anything with DJ. I thought he ran some pretty good routes over the course of the day and we just couldn't give him the ball, which that was not the intent. You know, I thought going into the game, we might have had more for him than any other player in the offense. And so was a little surprised at the end when I saw the stat sheet for one catch like he had. So that was, like you said, disappointing on that particular play. Was good with the decision. We just left it a little bit high there early in the game. And something that I've kind of talked about, you know, over the last few weeks is with Caleb is, man, how can I best serve him to get him in a rhythm early in games so where we can have some strong starts to the first half? And, you know, it's when you're asking your first completion to be a 18-yard dagger route, that's not always the easiest thing, particularly in those elements on the road like that. So something that he's certainly capable of doing. He makes that throw all the time in practice, and yet we weren't able to do it there yesterday that early in the game, so.
Yeah, he missed the earlier throw, too, the 2nd and 5 where he slightly overthrew Burden. Then he scrambled for a first down, and Darnell Wright had a holding call when he grabbed fully a hold of the pass rusher.
He sure did. I think that in there, Ben's speaking to the point that you're making about, like, he's got to get to him. Like, he's got to figure out a way to get to him. And
by the time he does, he's a little rushed because it took him a long time to get there.
Yep. All right, what about the breakdown of the Melton TD?
Just in general, 1:14 left on the clock and, you know, before half, we can't allow a touchdown. Our guys know that. Something that we're going to address and clean up. But in that particular coverage, there were some elements on the back end. I'm not going to get into specifics there that we felt like we could do a better job of taking that ball away. So, yeah, I'm like I said, I'm not going to get into specifics on what that thing should look like. I think that's that's for our guys in house here, but we can defend that play better.
At top of the 5 o'clock hour, when we talk a little Jordan Love and some Bears defense, Lawrence Holmes, we'll go ahead and get into specifics on that play.
Yeah, I mean, I kept watching it, and I keep wondering. I'm going to text Hogue. I keep wondering if Jalen got enough depth on that play. But there's also a receiver in the area, so did he check up instead of getting that depth? Because Jaquan ran from 40 yards away to try to make a play on that ball.
You called it in the group thread. I was thinking that maybe Brisker didn't get there fast enough, and you're like, I think that's a bust. That's a busted coverage.
I think that's what it is.
I think it is,
but it was definitely something that needs to get cleaned up, as Ben Johnson had to say. One more thing. This is something that was very interesting to us as a show, and probably you, and it was definitely interesting to Fox. Fox was in on this at the beginning, like the feud between the two coaches.
And they were in on it afterwards. I'm sure you went over, started working, because you do the pod right after the game. But
On the OT,
Terry Bradshaw talking about it. You know, several of them talking about the handshake, highlighting the iciness of said handshake. So that's what Ben was asked about today.
Ben, I know Matt LaFleur was asked about the quick handshake at the end. We didn't ask you about it. Did you make anything of it or not?
That feels like every handshake I have at the end of a game.
I guess not.
Oh.
I guess not.
Oh, my.
I don't know. I mean, LaFleur did not lean in to the possible a-hole opportunity that he had after that game.
He gave him the back pat, too. It wasn't the Jim Harbaugh back pat, but he gave him a little shake and a little back pat. And
it was on the move.
It's definitely on the move.
It was definitely on the move. There was no stopping going on.
Ain't
it was
no
like
stopping, no.
It's funny. It's like when you're doing the receiving line at a wedding or a funeral, and there's certain people you're like, I haven't seen you in a long time. I love that you're here. It's meaningful. There's some people that you're like, keep it moving. Keep it moving. There you go. Handshake. Keep it moving. Then there's some people you're like, whatever. That was kind of the whatever.
I went to an African funeral, and I didn't know that in some of the customs in Ghana, like, you want to go up there and say how sorry you are about things. And that's not what that is. Like, you just keep it moving. You wave and you keep it moving.
In Ghana, yeah, you don't.
At least at the funeral I was at, and I was like, oh, that is a faux pas.
But it's interesting already. You see the pack of Africans up front.
Tanya, I've never felt more American in my life than being at that funeral.
At the African funeral.
I've never felt more American. I was like, oh, I am an American.
They opened for Edible Mascot when I saw that show. African funeral and Edible Mascot. They jammed a little together at the crossover. It was magical.
I was like, oh, did you look at that? Totally American. Oh, all right. Yeah. Well, probably need to make a trip. Uh-huh. Go on home at some point and figure some of this stuff out.
I got some research to do, apparently. Well, you didn't know.
Well, you know what? I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
That's on your playlist. That's on your playlist.
Do I know that?
I know you're jamming on that thing.
You know me.
Yeah, I know.
Big Lee Greenwood guy.
Long time Lee Greenwood guy.
I say it to you often.
Yeah.
How much I enjoy his general disposition.
Salute. The general disposition.
Salute that man.
Matt LaFleur did whine a little bit after the game. Let's talk about that a little bit.
He
found a way to whine.
Oh, yeah. I actually think he's justified.
Yeah, well, really?
Yeah.
That's disgust.
That's next on the score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Packers will take over. So Caleb Williams in this rivalry. Say hello to Micah Parsons. You might be saying hello to him a lot today. For his sake, hopefully not. Scoreless early from Lambeau.
Highlights courtesy of Fox. There are a lot of people commenting that they feel like Brady is gotten better. I would agree with them.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Respect. And guess we shouldn't be surprised. But yeah, I took a lot of shots at him early on. And certainly even some early in the year, but I thought it was real good, and I always feel like I learned stuff. In fact, we flagged a couple things about Caleb and Love that you'll hear either today or tomorrow.
Yeah, so that's good. But LaFleur, cram of your grandma, LaFleur. I'm never going to get tired of saying that, by the way.
I don't find him to be a very likable personality. Is it because he coaches the Packers?
I think that's a big part of it. If you want to change your point of view, you don't have to. Like, you can just dislike him. But I thought his preseason interview that he did on The Pivot, he was really good, and I found him to be very likable.
Did you hear him talk about Halloween a couple weeks ago?
I did.
Just dismissed that.
That was just weird. Like, he hates joy, apparently.
Yeah, well, he's choosing to pick the lane where he is the guy that
I'm
hates
super
joy.
Serious football guy. Right. I'm here at the building at 3:45.
That kind of sounds like an unlikable person to me.
Thank you, Alex.
And I like him as a coach. I like his offensive principles. But like, as when you watch enough of stuff as I do with Turn the Page stuff, he's got this relationship with the media up there. Maybe it's one of those things you're not there every day, so you don't get the intricacies. But he's kind of standoffish with a lot of those guys that are everyday regulars up there.
Well, what was funny about it too, Tanny, is that he was doing that, and then they went into that little bit of funk. And during that funk, he was like, hey, guys, hey, how you doing, man? Uh-huh.
I really appreciate everything you do.
Whereas, and I'll give them credit, I have literally been in the locker room after tough losses for the Bears where Kevin Warren has come by and been like, thank you guys for your coverage. Like, that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
So cram up your cram hole, LaFleur.
And let's face it, Ben's got a little bit of an edge to him as well.
He sure does. Ask Aditi.
Yeah.
Should tell you.
It's got a bit of a cocky edge. So no surprise that they have a little bit of a clash going on.
Are we not being fair to LaFleur we like Ben so much?
I'm definitely choosing not to be fair to Matt LaFleur. But
although if you read the stuff about what happens when he was on Brian Kelly's staff early on in his career, I'd be a jerk too to everyone if I was treated that way.
That's true. Because you might think that that's the way that it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Him and Robert Saleh were apparently on a staff together, and there was that Brian Kelly party, like for end of the year party.
And they had to park cars.
Yeah.
Well, they showed up, and their name was on the list, but to be like helpers at the party.
That's the Coming to America. They got the treatment from Coming to America. Where the prince and Simi go to the McDowell's house thinking they go, nah, you here to park cars, fella.
Oh, that's right. See, and LaFleur just wanted to hang out with Brian Kelly and his family, I believe.
Well, we'll have a lot of time to do that when the offseason comes around because Brian's not doing anything right now.
Except getting paid.
But my thing is, like, maybe because we like Ben and we like that Ben's got an edge and the Bears have needed a coach that's got a little bit of an edge. And we know that Eberflus was there drinking it up with him at a basketball game a couple of years ago. But maybe we aren't being fair to him because he did just get blindsided by the Ben Johnson thing.
Sure. Let me just say, I have no intention of being fair to Matt LaFleur. Just absolutely none. Here he is after the game talking about the referees from the game yesterday.
I guess I don't know. I thought there was one that certainly was questionable, to say the least. But apparently the officials disagree. So it is what it is, and we just got to continue to strain and fight and try to get to the quarterback.
What kind of answer did you get on that when you were pointing to the scoreboard and talking to the ref there at that timeout?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into what we were talking about. I just, you know, officials, I don't think that their jobs are easy by any stretch. I think it is a difficult job, but, you know, I guess I don't know what holding is anymore because I thought that was pretty clear and obvious hold, but I guess I don't know what that means.
You know what?
Enough about this handshake already, okay?
that guy.
Yeah, it was really.
He should cram it up his cram hole. That's
all right.
And, I'm just saying.
And just to play devil's advocate and to try to be fair to LaFleur.
Oh, boy. That's a losing battle.
I'm going to go in the Wayback Machine on you here.
Okay. How far back?
Phil Jackson used to do that all the time.
Absolutely. You know
and
what?
Then the next game, what would happen?
Yeah.
He'd get some calls. So is this a setup for 2 weeks from now? Micah or Michael getting those calls.
Well, hopefully just for this week against Denver on the road. Hopefully it'll be over then.
Yeah, so you agreed a little bit. Look, of course you're right. When it's our coach, you know, we love the way that he works the refs. When it's that guy, he's 12-1, man.
He's really good at football.
He's 12-1.
That's the thing.
Yeah, he's really good. And, you know, and I mean, they do a lot of very smart things, and that was a very well-coached team. I really thought it was two really well-coached teams yesterday.
I would agree. In the second half, more so for the Bears.
Yeah, well, no, schematic choices for sure. But either way, in terms of preparation and, you know.
Because you heard Ben say, not too happy with kickoff return coverage.
Right.
And punt return coverage.
Did you hear Ben go politically correct on us yesterday in the postgame?
With
Ben he's a little too woke. I think he's a little too woke.
His third eyes open.
Oh no, the mob got to him.
I think the woke mob has got to him. He refused to call a potential Theo Benedet touchdown what it's rightfully called.
Yeah, you're right. Theo was going to be number one there. Was trying to go for a big guy touchdown. I was about to say fat guy touchdown, but
what's wrong with fat guy touchdown?
I mean, Theo might not look at himself as fat.
But that doesn't matter. That's what it's called.
Well, it's
fun.
I mean, sometimes people call it a big guy touchdown.
But they're all big guys. They're football players.
Right, but usually offensive linemen are bigger than most.
So let me just get this straight.
Let me ask you this question.
What?
Would you call Trent Williams a fat guy?
No, but I'm not his coach. And I nod to his face.
I wouldn't say it from a mile away. I'd be like, big guy touchdown.
But it's okay to say that Roma Dunze is Caleb's.
Scary guy touchdown.
Okay, yeah. It's okay to say that Roma Dunze is Caleb's blankie. That's okay.
Well,
that's.
You know, I got caught up in the woke BS.
Jeremy Roenick making a show. That's amazing. But yeah, no, it's a fat guy touchdown. That's the parlance, you know?
Of our time.
Yes, it's dude. All right. It's
2025.
Okay. Yeah, man.
I'm good with big guy touchdowns. It was fine.
Yeah, you're right. Theo was going to be number one there, was trying to go for a big guy touchdown. I was about to say fat guy touchdown, but.
I realize I'm in the crosshairs of the woke mob right now. So before my final nail gets put in my cancel culture casket.
Oh,
hey,
that guy.
Spiegs may have buried that guy too quickly.
It might have been a little too fast.
How adorable was that when he does the belt touchdown and then Tomlin's on the sideline doing it at the same time? And that bromance
Tomlin,
there.
Tomlin blew a kiss afterwards.
Sold his damn soul. Sold his damn soul to that guy. It's still going to go south.
And that touchdown that was called back against Baltimore was... There's a lot of stuff in that game.
There's a lot of stuff around the NFL.
There really was.
Yeah, no. It was a good slate, and it played through to last night. The Texans doing an 85 Bears impression on defense these days.
They're very terrifying.
Oh, man. And there's a damn good one tonight with Philly and the Chargers.
I don't think that quarterback's very good, though.
Pat Mahomes?
Strewed.
Mm. Neither's Pat Mahomes
out
these
him,
days.
Out him trying to sun Caleb. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Remember when he was trying to – well, you know, young fella, we're the same age, sir.
It's like James Franklin to Marcus
– Freeman.
Freeman, thank you.
I can see why you'd be intimidated by his handsomeness, though. He's very handsome. And he's going to look good in an NFL coaching smock soon.
Guy's dropping knowledge.
Lawrence, I'm sure you saw Marcus Freeman on the Today Show when he was going over his, like,
when
he was doing his thing. Oh, man. They would have literally eaten out of the palm of his hand if you wanted to.
That guy walks into the house on the recruiting trip. He's winning it.
Oh, yeah.
He's winning it. I'll tell you that much.
Texture says maybe Theo doesn't like being called fat. You know, you don't know that. Maybe,
you don't know.
Maybe it should be Husky guy.
Husky's worse.
Husky touchdown.
See, I feel like he'd rather be called fat and get the fat guy touchdown than to get chopped down the way that he did on that play.
I think so.
That was ridiculous.
But for anybody who's ever had to shop in the Husky section.
Child here, hate that.
Husky's worse.
A more to love guy touchdown.
A big bone guy touchdown. No, that Husky section as a kid, man, that was the worst.
It hurts.
A big and tall touchdown.
It hurts. We need to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about what Mr. Love did against the Bears defense next on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.